WSHU delivers trusted news reporting that keeps you accurately informed and uplifting music that delights and surprises you. It's what we're here to do and what you count on. I'm Shelley Hassman-Kadish. Your financial support gives our reporters the resources to separate fact from falsehood. It also brings a daily source of inspiration through classical music. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU. We're expanding our world together.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul has announced $30 million will go to emergency food relief amid the government shutdown. Nearly 3 million New Yorkers may lose their SNAP benefits or food stamps in November.
So all we're saying is just unfreeze the SNAP funding. You can do this. Get back to work. Stop the shutdown. Stop taking away health care. Stop taking away food. Just start looking out for the American people.
Hochul says in total, $41 million has been pledged to offset the impact. That's enough to provide over 16 million meals. This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut's congressional delegation is heading back to D.C. to negotiate an end to the government shutdown. Early voting kicked off this weekend on Long Island. Plus, the view of Connecticut's energy future looks to remain cloudy. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut's members of the U.S. House say they'll be in Washington, D.C. for a House Democratic caucus tomorrow, even though the House of Representatives continues to be out of session this week. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro is the ranking Democrat on the Appropriations Committee. She says the Connecticut delegation, who are all Democrats, are headed back to Washington because there must be a negotiated solution to end the government shutdown.
For my part, at my level, with the appropriators, let's sit down anytime, any place, anywhere, and we can sort it out.
DeLauro blames President Donald Trump for keeping House Republicans away from Washington.
You have to have the political will to want to get it done. And Donald Trump does not have that political will.
Last Friday, Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson declared that House members should work in their districts this week. The House has been out of session for more than a month, with the last vote having occurred on September 19th. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Early voting kicked off this weekend on Long Island. Voters will choose county legislators, town supervisors, and DAs, plus a ballot proposition in Suffolk County. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
Voters in Suffolk County will see a question when they flip over their ballot. Do you support extending the length of time county legislators serve from 2 years to 4 years? Lawmakers voted to add the question this summer in response to a state law that moves local elections like this one from odd years to even years. The change has bipartisan support from legislators who say it'll save money for candidates and for the county. Otherwise, legislators will have to run 3 times in the next 5 years to comply with the new even-year-only schedule. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
If you call a social services helpline in Connecticut, you might face some of the longest wait times in the country. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports advocates look to change that.
Connecticut residents could wait for 40 minutes or more to get through to the state's call center for services like food stamps and Medicaid. The state ranks 41st out of 50 for wait times. Advocates say nearly half of people end up abandoning their calls altogether, and that could go up with new federal regulations. Dozens of advocacy groups are calling on the state to add more staff when they enter a special session next month. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
The future of renewable energy projects in Connecticut remains uncertain amid pushback from the Trump administration. A conversation on that is coming up.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
If you're 70 and a half or older, there's a simple way to give that could also have tax benefits. It's called a qualified charitable distribution, a direct gift from your IRA that can count towards your required minimum distribution. And it helps keep WSHU's program on the air for you and your community. Find out more at WSHU.org.
An agreement signed by the town of East Hampton on Friday ensures Montauk's protection under the Fire Island to Montauk Point project, better known as FIMP, over the next 3 decades. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers project is meant to be a long-term solution to beach erosion on Long Island's South Shore and better protect areas prone to flooding through dune bolstering and beach replenishment. Connecticut state lawmakers are considering policy changes to the Department of Children and Families. This comes after the recent discovery of an 11-year-old girl's remains found in a plastic storage container in New Britain. Jacqueline Mimi Torres Garcia had been starved and severely abused, according to investigators. Her mother, aunt, and mother's boyfriend have all been charged in her death. DCF previously investigated the family, who duped the agency by providing a different child during a virtual visit. 36 LIRR employees allegedly used fake ID cards to get overtime wages for hours they never worked. The accused workers made almost double the overtime as the other workers. The top overtime earner in 2024 made almost $350,000 total, surpassing the salary of the railroad's president, according to Newsday. The state of Connecticut is ordering Bridgeport Public Schools to improve special education services for its students. The New England News Collaborative's Eddie Martinez has more on what those changes mean.
Bridgeport will have to come up with a plan regarding how it will make up for the lack of services that various special education students didn't receive. That's after the Center for Children's Advocacy filed a complaint alleging the school district lacked enough special education teachers and staff, among other issues. Center attorney Ilana Ofgang says the district is working on it, but it's going to be a process.
A pretty significant number of children are going to receive educational instruction that they were entitled to, that they need, and that they were being deprived of.
The school district is also being ordered to confirm the changes are being made and communicate with parents. Bridgeport Public Schools did not respond to requests for comment. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Eddie Martinez.
Connecticut had high hopes for wind and solar energy. Changes at the federal level have cast clouds over those plans. WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut mayor's Jan Ellen Spiegel, who's done a deep dive on this. Their conversation is part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
This summer, the Trump administration issued a stop work order on Revolution Wind, the offshore wind project, which is backed by Connecticut and Rhode Island. Is that what prompted you to explore this issue more?
Actually, no. It was certainly one factor, but this was already well underway. There have been a series of moves by Donald Trump in the second administration, starting from day one, that clearly were designed to, shall we say, impede, if not outright kill, certain types of renewable energy, most prominently offshore wind, to some degree onshore wind, and solar. And we were all forewarned. He slow walked this stuff in the first administration, and with a variety of executive orders day one, you could see he was coming for them again, and he was coming for them much stronger. The stop work order on Revolution Wind, which didn't come till the end of August, and it followed a stop work order on another project offshore in New York, are more closely symptoms of all the other things he'd done. And he's done a number of things.
Let's take a step back. What are Connecticut's plans for its energy future?
Well, what they are and maybe going forward could be very different. First of all, there was a lot of emphasis being put on offshore wind, and certainly getting this project up and running was critical. If you may recall, there was an earlier offshore wind project that eventually got canceled as a result of the pandemic and increased prices and whatnot. And Connecticut had backed off any other additional stuff. Whether there would be more remained to be seen. The state itself, like almost every other state in New England and many other states in the Northeast, have clean energy goals, as does Connecticut, and there are different ways that those can be attained. But offshore wind in particular was a huge component because you can get massive amounts of energy, and energy, akin to one of the units in the Millstone Nuclear Power Station. Plus, there were some other things underway designed to get onshore wind down from Maine, which has been a goal now for 15 years. It just hasn't really materialized. And a transmission line to do that had been seriously delayed for years. That is actually almost done as well.
But basically, can we say that there is a glimmer of a silver lining to the dark clouds for our energy future?
Well, there's a couple of yin yangs to them. Look, one of the reasons everybody's scrambling for power is we have, presumably, we're going to have all this AI, we're going to have all these data centers, not much of which has ever ended up in New England for a lot of economic reasons. Land is expensive, there's not all that much space, and it's unclear whether it's going to pan out to the levels that some people think it will. And I've heard that from some, pretty high-end economists who are a little skeptical we're going to need that much power. What people in New England and Connecticut don't always realize is that power demand in the region for 10, 15 years has been flat, if not lower. It was expected. The independent system operator that runs the grid expects in the next 10 years it'll increase by about 11%, but that was before all this happened. Will it continue to increase like that? Unclear. In a sense, the biggest issue here is you have all kinds of entities preparing for future power needs. There are so many wrinkles and so many uncertainties and so many outright hand grenades being thrown into this thing. I keep asking people, well, how do you plan? And it's hard. These guys just don't totally know now how to plan for a future where the power plant they were expecting, just like Revolution Wind, might get stopped. And now what do we do? It's very, very difficult. For that future, we can say what's out there, maybe more nuclear way down the road. Would someone build another gas plant? Unclear. Will people keep investing in solar because it will help their own personal electric rates? It's possible, but we don't know. So the trajectory we have been on, the odds of the region, because we are a regional grid, staying on that could be anybody's guess at this point.
So, bottom line, it's much more difficult for policymakers to try and figure this out.
Yes, and it's
So,
much more
uncertainty.
difficult. If their goal is to keep energy rates low, boy, this is about the biggest wrinkle that could have been thrown at them.
Well, it's a great way to go into the winter when we are thinking about our energy costs. Thank you so much, Jan.
You are welcome.
Jan Ellen Spiegel is Connecticut Mirror's regular freelance environment and energy reporter. I'm Ebon Utama.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or with our free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. This Wednesday, October 29th, join WSHU as we celebrate Public Radio Music Day. You'll hear performances by local musicians, ensembles, and composers, including live recordings from Orchestra Lumos. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at WSHU Public Radio for some behind-the-scenes extras. Celebrate Public Public Radio Music Day, live, local, and essential on 91.1, 107.5, and streaming on the WSHU app. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.